రీడింగ్ ఫ్రమ్ శ్రీమద్ భాగవతం క్యాంటో 10th చాప్టర్ 87 ద ప్రేయర్స్ ఆఫ్ ది పర్సనిఫైడ్ వేదాస్ టెక్స్ట్ 15 బృహత్ ఉపలబ్ధం ఏతత్ అవయంతి అవశేషయ యత్ ఉదయాస్తమయో వికృతేర్మృది వావికృత అతరుషయో దధ్యుస్త్వై మనోవచనాచారి చరితం కథం అథయ అయథా భవంతి భూవి దత్తపదాని నృణాం. ఆల్రెడీ దిస్ వర్స్ హ్యాస్ బిన్ రిసైటెడ్ టూ డేస్ బిఫోర్. ట్రాన్స్లేషన్ దిస్ అండ్ పర్పట్ సెకండ్ పార్ట్. Translation: This perceivable world is identified with the Supreme because the Supreme Brahman is the ultimate foundation of all existence. Remaining unchanged as all created things are generated from it and at last dissolve in it. Just as clay remains unchanged by the products made from it and again merge with it. Thus it is toward you alone that the Vedic sages direct all their thoughts, words and acts. After all, how can the footsteps of men fail to touch the earth on which they live? Purport, the second part. Therefore the mantras of the Vedas along with the rishis who have received these mantras in meditation and transmitted them for the benefit of mankind direct their attention primarily toward the personality of Godhead. The Vedic sages direct the activities of their mind and words, that is to say the inner as well as the literal meaning, abhidha vritti, of their utterances, first of all toward him, and secondarily toward the separated transformations of prakriti, such as Indra and other demigods. Just as a man's footsteps, whether placed on mud, stone or bricks, cannot fail to touch the surface of the earth, so whatever the Vedas discuss within the realm of material generation, they relate to the absolute truth. Mundane literature describes limited phenomena, disregarding the relation of its subjects to the total reality. But the Vedas always focus their perfect vision on the Supreme. As the Chandogya Upanishad affirms in its statements, Mrityuke eva satyam, Mrityuketya eva satyam, and Sarvam khalva idam brahma. Reality is understood properly when everything is seen to be dependent on Brahman, the Absolute, for its existence. Brahman alone is real, not because nothing we see in this world is real, but because Brahman is absolute, final cause of everything. Thus the word satyam, as used in the phrase Mrityuketya eva satyam, has been defined in another context as ingredient cause by no less an authority than Lord Krishna himself. Yad upadaya purvastu bhavo vikrute param adir anto yada yasya tat satyam abhidhiyate. A material object itself composed of an essential ingredient creates another material object through transformation. In this way, one created object becomes the cause and basis of another created object. A particular thing may be called real in that it possesses the basic nature of another object that constitutes its cause and original state. Bhagavatam 11.24.18. Explaining the word Brahman, Srila Prabhupada writes in Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the word Brahman indicates the greatest of all and the maintainer of everything. The impersonalists are attracted by the greatness of the sky, but because of their poor fund of knowledge, they are not attracted by the greatness of Krishna. In our practical life, however, we are attracted by the greatness of a person and not by the greatness of a big mountain. Actually, the term Brahman can be applied to Krishna only. Therefore, in the Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna admitted that Lord Krishna is a Parabrahman or the supreme rest of everything. Krishna is a supreme Brahman because of his unlimited knowledge, unlimited potencies, unlimited strength, unlimited influence, and unlimited beauty and unlimited renunciation. Therefore, the word Brahman can be applied to Krishna only. Arjuna affirms that because the impersonal Brahman is the effulgence emanating as rays of Krishna's transcendental body, Krishna is the Parabrahman. Everything is resting on Brahman, but Brahman itself is resting on Krishna. Therefore, Krishna is the ultimate Brahman or Parabrahman. The material elements are accepted as inferior energies of Krishna because by their interaction, the cosmic manifestation takes place, rest on Krishna, and after dissolution, again enters into the body of Krishna as his subtle energy. Krishna is therefore the cause of both manifestation and dissolution. In summary, Sridhar Swami prays, Druhina Vanni Ravindra Mukha Mara Jagat Idam Na Bhavet Prithak Uthitam Bahu Mukher Api Mantra Ganer Ajas Tvam Uru Murtir Ato Vinigadhyase. The demigods, headed by Shiva, Agni, Surya and Indra, and indeed all beings in the universe, do not come into existence independently of you. The mantras of the Vedas, though they speak from various viewpoints, all speak about you, the unborn Lord appearing in numerous forms. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupaha Kadamayam Tadati Swapadantikam Namaum Vishnupadaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shanyavadi Pashatya Deshatarine Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namine Gauratvishe Nama He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namosate Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpataru Vesha कृपा सिंधुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासादि गौरभक्तवृंद। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण। सो क्वाइट टेक्निकल द पर्पट एंड ट्रांसलेशन। This chapter itself is quite philosophical and difficult to understand. In fact, probably if one can understand this one chapter of Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, of Srimad Bhagavatam, one doesn't have to understand any other philosophy. All things will become very clear. Because Srila Prabhupada has very wonderfully explained all different kind of misconceptions which are floating around, and has given the perfect conclusion of the Vedic truths. And in the beginning of this chapter, we can see that it began with the inquiry of Parikshit Maharaj. Because Parikshit Maharaj was hearing very attentively, and he was putting forward a lot of philosophical and thoughtful questions in front of Shukadeva Goswami. And many devotees have already explained how Parikshit Maharaj was fasting because he could see the impending death. And in spite of that, his curiosity was increasing all the more. It was not that after certain days he was getting tired because of not eating, not drinking water. But in fact, the nectar of Krishna Katha, Krishna's stories, Krishna's narrations, which were spoken by Srila Shukadeva Goswami, was another great Mahabhagavat. And he was also not just telling from his realization, but he was quoting from the previous authorities from whom he had heard. And therefore the message was becoming more and more authentic, more and more bona fide. And in this chapter also we can see that Parikshit Maharaj put forward a very, very important query. And the query was how the Vedas, which deal only with the three modes of material nature, their understanding, if somebody studies the Vedas, one, and they deal with the three modes of material nature, Trigunna Visha Veda, Nistrigunna Bhavarj, Krishna is telling Arjuna. The Vedas mainly deal with three modes of material nature. So how these Vedas, by studying the Vedas, one can reach transcendence, the supreme absolute truth, which is beyond the modes of material nature, which is beyond this, the understanding of the Vedas. So this was a very, very important query. And before we understand the explanation or the answers given by Shukadeva Goswami, we must try to understand the question itself. What is the purport of this question? Because unless we understand the question, we cannot understand the explanation. The question itself is so complicated. That how the Vedas can reach the Supreme Absolute Truth, which only deal with the three modes of material nature. And in the Vedas it is explained that three primary processes, karma kand, jnana kand and upasana kand. Karma kand means almost the ritualistic activities to worship so many demigods. Especially the Rig Veda, it gives the worship of many, many demigods, worshipping Indra, Surya, so many demigods, Agni. And mostly these, by worshipping these demigods, gradually one will come to understand, yes, there is something higher than this life in the material world or on the earth planet. Or one will at least come to the understanding that I am not this material body, I am spirit soul. And if I perform these pious activities, then I have some hope of getting elevated to heavenly planets. Swarga. And even in today's world, there is so much misconception about what is Swarga Loka and how to reach there. So many misconceptions that people feel that if following only particular type of religion, one can reach Swarga Loka. That is the greatest misconception, and based on that misconception, there is so much terrorism going on in today's world. Somebody had asked one question to Radhanath Swami. In fact, there was an argument. Person was from another religious faith, and Radhanath Maharaj was at that time was telling about how it is important to perform devotional service, chant the names of God, to elevate oneself. And this person was really attacking. And he was telling that because you are not following our religion, you are going to hell. So Maharaj heard for some time, and then he asked another question to this person. And he asked him, so where are you going? So he said that I am going to heaven. Because only by following this process of our religion, one is allowed to go to heaven. So Maharaj told him, Radhanath Maharaj told him that if people like you are there in the heaven, then better I suffer in the hell. Because I don't want to deal with people like you in the heaven. So that is the misconception. One may think that by pushing people and converting them, one will be getting to heaven. Or killing sometimes to today's world, people have come to that extent that they are so much brainwashed that if they kill other people of other religious faith, then they will go to heaven. That is a misconception. And here the Srimad Bhagavatam explains something which is beyond heaven. Because this place, heaven, hell, I mean, these are temporary places. Srimad Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna explains that one may be elevated to heavenly planets by performing pious activities. Tetam bhungtva swarga lokam vishalam shine punyam marta lokam vishanti. That one may be elevated to the heavenly planets by performing pious activities. That is very much possible. But what happens after that? After that, pious activities are exhausted. Tetam bhungtva swarga lokam vishalam shine punyam marta lokam vishanti. When the pious credits are exhausted on the heavenly planets, then one falls down again to this Martya Loka, Martya Lokam Vishanti. This world is Martya Loka, or the earthly. Hellish planets. And sometimes one may wonder that why these kind of descriptions are coming. You just want to hear the glories of the Lord, the wonderful blissful life in spiritual world. But Shukadeva Goswami explains the reality. It is not just of the Supreme Absolute Truth. But what is the nature of this material world, he has to explain. And by understanding that, one will refrain from performing sinful activities. One should know what is the reaction one may get by performing such sinful activities. So therefore, it was needed. And Parikshit Maharaj also, he is inquiring very intelligently. He asked that, then what is the solution if somebody suffers or is performing sinful activities? Shukadeva Goswami explained that the solution is to atone for it, prayaschitta. And even after atoning, Parikshit Maharaj says that it may appear like kunjara shauchavat, that it is like an elephant's bath. One knows that this is a sinful activity and this is a solution, and still one may perform sinful activity thinking that I know the solution now. So if somebody has that kind of mentality, then according to Shukadeva Goswami, it is like Kunjara Shauchavat or Parikshit Maharaj. Parikshit Maharaj explained that it is, according to me, it is like Kunjara Shauchavat. It is like an elephant's bath. Elephant takes bath very nicely in the water. And when it comes again on the ground, when it sees the dirt, it will just take the dirt and throw all over the body. So what is the use of performing atonement? So then Shukadeva Goswami explains the higher things, the importance of chanting and the story of Ajami. So here Shukadeva Goswami is explaining that how this one has to rise above. Or the Vedas, although it may appear that they deal only with the three modes of material nature, but the words of the Vedas, they can direct, it cannot be excluded from understanding the Supreme Absolute Truth. Because the ultimate purpose of all the Vedas is to know the Supreme Lord. Vedesh sarver aham eva vedyo vedant krudveda videva chaham. Lord Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita that by understanding all the Vedas, I am to be understood. Vedesh sarver aham eva vedyo vedant krudveda videva chaham. Now I am the end of all the Vedas. So therefore, the whole purpose of Vedas, in fact the very meaning of Vedas, is to know, or the knowledge. Veda means knowledge. It comes from the Sanskrit word vid. Vid means to know. And what one must know, that is most important. One may perform ritualistic activities, worship the demigods. But what is the purpose behind these ritualistic activities? That one must know. Otherwise it becomes just like a karmakanda. It is just like a ritualistic activity. Therefore one must know what one is doing, what is the purpose of doing all these activities. So therefore, the Vedas, they direct towards the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And although there may be explanation about various demigods, various ritualistic processes, but the ultimate purpose is to go higher than that. And therefore this chapter is very, very important. And it began after the chapter of Lord Krishna visiting Bahulashva and Shrutadev. And Shukadeva Goswami is not just telling what he knows, but he is narrating what he had heard from Srila Narad Muni or his guru, Srila Vyasadeva, because Srila Vyasadeva later on compiled all the Vedic literatures, Srimad Bhagavatam, Vedanta Sutra. And his guru, Srila Narad Muni, it is explained that he was once traveling. He had that power of traveling to all the planetary systems. He could go anywhere in the universe. And usually he goes to those places where there are discussions of Lord Krishna going on. There are transcendental discussions going on of Supreme Personality of Godhead. So he had visited Narayan Rishi at Kalap. So there this discussion was going on, the same discussion. So it is not just the query of Parikshit Maharaj, but the same type of query had arisen earlier, many, many thousands of years before. And Srila Narad Muni had asked a similar type of question to Narayan Rishi. And he also is quoting from the previous authorities from whom he had heard. And he tells that there was a similar type of discussion which happened on Janaloka. On Janaloka, which is higher than the earthly planet or the Bhur, Bhur, Swar, Mahar, Janaloka, Tapoloka, Satyaloka. So Janaloka is much more higher than even the Swargaloka or the sun planet. And there the discussion had happened. And what was the discussion? The similar type of discussion. And they had chosen Sanandan, who is one of the four Kumaras, to explain this, that how the Vedas, by studying the Vedas, one can understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So he was quoting Sanandan, who was one of the four Kumaras, the four sons who were born from the mind of Brahma. They were in the beginning great Brahmavadis. They were impersonalists. Their understanding was impersonalism. Because if one just studies the Vedas without proper authority, then one may come to the conclusion that ultimately there is nothing. Everything is Brahman. Brahman, Satya, Jagan, Mithya. One may come to that conclusion. Because whatever we see in this material world has come from Brahman. The impersonal aspect of the Supreme Lord. And if by studying the Vedas, a philosophical understanding, one will come to that realization that ultimately everything is Brahman. Brahman, Satya and Jagan, Mithya. Because whatever we see in this material world is temporary. It is not eternal. So, four Kumaras, they were earlier impersonalist. And they were liberated souls. They could travel anywhere. There was no material impediment for them. So when they had traveled to Vaikuntha Loka, they could travel by their powers. And at that time we know that how they were stopped by the two doorkeepers, Jaya and Vishaya. They stopped them. Because these four children, small, young, maybe 3-4 years, clothed in four directions, completely liberated souls. But they were very highly elevated. They had great understanding. So they were obstructed by Jaya and Vijaya. And when they were obstructed, they became a little angry. Because they wanted to meet the Supreme Lord Narayan. They thought that there it is their birthright, they can meet. They didn't know all the rules and regulations. Usually a lot of rules and regulations come and security people stop. But they didn't know everything. They were completely liberated, and for such people there are no rules and regulations. So when they were stopped by that, they cursed both Jaya and Vijaya. Because how such people can exist in the Vaikuntha Loka? Those who don't know who are the liberated souls, this is very inconceivable understanding. How such people are allowed there, those who don't understand who are the liberated souls. But somehow that this pastime has happened. And they were cursed. Of course it is the will of the Supreme Lord that these two Jaya and Vijaya had to be cursed. And Supreme Lord comes in this material world. In his different incarnations, wonderful incarnations. And these four Kumaras, when they were at the gate of Vaikuntha Loka, Lord Narayan could understand that there is some disturbance at the gate. So he came along with his other associates. And on the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord, Narayan, there is always tulsi leaf, decorated always. So by they got the fragrance of that tulsi leaf. And when they got the fragrance of that tulsi leaf, these four Kumaras, their understanding changed from impersonal to personal. And they became the great devotees of the Lord. So this pastime explains that the power of devotional service, that the bhakti marg, devotional service, is so powerful that even the liberated souls like four Kumaras and even Shukadeva Goswami, he was also impersonal in the beginning. He had that impersonal understanding. They can become great devotees. So therefore, the bhakti marg process is so powerful that people, those who have that kind of impersonal understanding, thinking that the Supreme Person or there is only one truth, Brahman Satya, they can also rise above that understanding. So this is very, very important, that how beyond the understanding of the Vedas, there is Supreme Absolute Truth. And he is a person there. He is not something impersonal, Brahman effulgence. It may appear that everything is impersonal. Brahmano hi pratishtaham. Lord Krishna also explains that everything is resting. I am the basis of that impersonal Brahman. So that Brahman effulgence is coming from the Supreme Lord. And from that Brahman, Mahatattva, all this material manifestation is coming. So this is the material energy of the Supreme Lord. But beyond that, there is spiritual energy. So this understanding was given by Sanandan. Sanandan, who who is one of the four Kumaras, he is narrating the story or the incident which had happened at the beginning of creation. Because if we say that I created some object, a wristwatch or a computer or something, then I must exist before that. That is the logic. That if I say that I have created something, then the creator has to exist before the creation. And if I destroy something, and if I am still there, that means the person who is destroying is still there. He is not destroyed along with the destruction. So therefore the Vedas direct that the Supreme Lord was existing before. Before this creation He was existing, and He will remain. He will exist after the destruction also. So that person who has the power to create this material manifestation, gigantic cosmic manifestation, cannot be an ordinary person like us, who is the product of three modes of material nature. All material world is coming. It is consisting of three modes of material nature. So somebody has created that, has to be supreme, has to be higher than that. So therefore, the Vedas, here the Shrutis, the personified Vedas. In fact, in the spiritual world, everything is person. There is nothing imperson. Even the Vedas here, we are saying that personified Vedas. That means Vedas are also persons. They are not something impersonal, some knowledge. But they also have some personality in the spiritual world. So therefore, that is the understanding which is given here. And Srila Prabhupada, he has given these books, which makes this understanding very clear. In fact, yesterday, so many devotees, they were glorifying Srila Prabhupada, because Srila Prabhupada has given this wonderful philosophy. This philosophy makes everything very clear. And his pranati mantra also, nirvishesha shunyavadi paschatya deshatarini. This, he went to the western world which is filled with nirvishesha and shunyavad, impersonalism and voidism. So sometimes Srila Prabhupada would tell, I heard sometimes, crush all these Mayavadis, impersonalism, voidism, how this is very bad and how this is very dangerous philosophy. So sometimes the disciples in the Western world, they were thinking that there may be some kind of people in India that Srila Prabhupada is very angry with. And therefore he is telling that these Mayavadis and impersonalists, they are so having such kind of philosophy which is like disturbing everything. But as they gradually practice this philosophy, they understood that impersonalism is everywhere actually. It is not only in India, but impersonalism is spreading everywhere. People don't treat other people as human beings. The basic etiquettes or the basic dealings with each other have become so impersonal. Although the philosophy may be so personal, But the dealings are so impersonal, how people treat each other. They don't care whether somebody is hurt. If by my actions, by my words, I'm hurting somebody, it is impersonalism has taken its root so deeply. So therefore, so many problems are arising in this material world because of such kind of impersonal understanding. And therefore, the solution is Krishna consciousness. Srila Prabhupada could see that that kind of understanding is spreading so much. Srila Prabhupada, in his first canto, Srimad Bhagavatam, in the introduction, he writes that people have made progress in this material world. So much technological advancement. But there is some pinprick in the society at large. And what is that pinprick? It is that they have forgotten who is the Supreme Lord. There is a lack of Krishna consciousness. And although it may appear to be everything very sophisticated, technologically very well advanced, we have so many gadgets, but still there is impersonalism. Because they are not connecting to their roots. They are not understanding who is the ultimate source of everything. So therefore, here in the purport it is explained that there are so many literatures, there are so many books, but they don't tell about the Supreme Absolute Truth. So these books are just deal with the three modes of material nature, how to make material advancement. But just by making material advancement, one cannot be happy. Because as long as one is disconnected from the Supreme Lord, one is disconnected from one's own self. People sometimes they don't understand how to deal with one's own life. People are so much fed up with their own life. They don't understand how to deal with one's own life, what to speak of dealing with others' lives. So this kind of impersonalism has been troubling so much. It is disturbing so much. So therefore, the understanding of Srila Prabhupada's books, the process which he has given, is so important. And this process has to be practiced in the association of devotees. Because association of devotees can really keep us at the ground level. Sometimes philosophically one may understand that, yes, I am so elevated now, I have so much understanding. But when one comes to the association of devotees, then one must know that how to be remain at the ground level. And be humble. Then Krishna's grace will come. Because Krishna is pleased by the humility, not by too much of knowledge. Knowledge is important as long as that knowledge culminates to the devotion of the Lord, service to the devotees. So, therefore, this understanding is very important. And I was just reading Srimad Bhagavad Gita, 10th canto, 10th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, and in which Lord Krishna makes it more so simple. He says that he is telling Arjuna that I am telling you this knowledge which is beneficial for you, which is better than what I have already explained. And he says that Name vidu sura gana prabhavam na maharsha aham adirhi devana maharshinam cha sarvasha. Neither the host of demigods, nor the great sages, know my origin or opulences, for in every respect I am the source of the demigods and sages. So somebody may think that demigods are higher, but here Lord Krishna is explaining that I am the source of demigods and sages. So Krishna is higher than them. And after hearing that, what is Arjuna's conclusion? Param Brahma Param Dhava Param Dhamam Pavitram Paramam Bhavan. Arjuna is saying that you are the supreme Brahman. You are the ultimate resting place. You are very pure. Pavitram Paramam Bhavan. You are transcendental. You are beyond these modes of material nature. So that is the conclusion of Arjuna. So here we'll later on see that how the Vedas personified will keep glorifying the Supreme Lord and bring us to that personal aspect. How the Supreme Lord is. The Supreme is not limited by the three modes of material nature. He is higher than that. Hare Krishna. Anybody has any questions? Mataji, please, any comments? Thank you. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Granth Raj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.